and we welcome 1260 WNDE co-host of Query and Schultz and IMS Radio Network pit and turn announcer Jake Query. Jake, you're going to be pretty busy this week, obviously, between your show and the announcing duties. How's it feel?
It's the best time of year. First off, I appreciate you having me on, James. I think, you know, when you grew up in Indianapolis, this whole month, I mean, with the Pacers doing well, it makes it a little bit nostalgic for the mid-90s because you had the Racers and the Pacers and all that kind of thing. But I just think, for me personally, coming out here, being a part of it, hearing the cars, seeing the fans, seeing the crowd, it's the one event that I'm a part of or that I cover that still makes me feel like a kid. I think when you work in sports for a long time, you have an objectivity which kind of allows you to step back a little bit and cover it for what it is, and that is the responsibility of objectively covering what's going on. I try to do that, obviously, with the Indy 500, but at the same time, it is without question still the one sports venue and the one event that the fan in me comes out every single time I pull in. And you know, it's not lost on me at all, the privilege and the honor it is to not only be able to do our show out here now over the course of the week when there's on-track activity, but the tremendous, tremendous thrill for me of being able to be part of the IMS Radio Network as well and calling turn two for the race and for qualifying and doing some pit reporting as well and interviews after qualifying runs throughout the course of both pole day and bump day.
Obviously, I just talked about your radio show a little bit with Queer and Schultz on 1260. It'll be played through the week. You can find it online, 1260.com.
Yeah, WNDE.com. I appreciate you asking that, is where you can find us. Also on iHeartRadio. Which if you live outside of Indianapolis, you can get it on iHeartRadio or on, obviously, WNDE.com. But Derek and I have been doing the show since August. And for me, it's the first time that I'll be doing, other than when I worked at MS Communications and did some things over the course of the qualifying weekends with Donald Davidson. But in terms of practice days, my first chance to come out here and do a live show for 4 hours a day to get people caught up, pardon the pun, but up to speed on what's going on out here, talk to different drivers after 6 o'clock each day and get their take on how the track is and get everybody set up and ready for qualifying.
Just real quick, I use Hotmail too, by the way. I was listening the other day and Schultz was making fun of you for the whole Hotmail thing.
Apparently Hotmail's like 1995 or something. I get emails and I send emails on Hotmail, and I guess I've now stepped in the 21st century because I actually have an iPhone, but believe me, I'm an old guy, man. I'll be 40 in a couple months, so just for me to be able to keep up with that kind of stuff. I'm on Twitter now, too, so at least I keep up with that.
Of course, Jake, obviously, at Jake Query on
correct.
Twitter.
That's correct.
Famous for that. It was announced earlier today you'll be part of the Yellow Party. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I'm excited about that. That's going to be the Thursday before the race. It'll be down at the One America building. And the Yellow Party's, you know, Ryan Hunter-Reay obviously has been very involved as well with the Live Strong and just fighting cancer in general, beating cancer. And it's a great opportunity for people to get involved. They can check out more information at theyellowparty.org. But I'll be co-emceeing it along with Monica Hilton, and she asked me to do it, and I was happy to do it because it'll be a great opportunity not only to get to interview some of the drivers, but for race fans to be able to intermingle with their favorite drivers, have an enjoyable evening. I think it's $75 a ticket, and the proceeds go towards cancer research. And I think when you really look around at different, you know, obviously all illnesses, all terminal illnesses and all, they're all tragic, but cancer is one that you'd be hard-pressed to find anybody, whether it's a friend or family member, that hasn't been touched in some way, shape, or form or affected by cancer. So to be able to help out with that cause is obviously the primary focus. But in addition to that, it'll be a good evening to intermix with people and, you know, other people that share the same passion for the Indianapolis Motor Speedway that I do, so we're looking forward to it. It'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, more a little bit of a lighter note, obviously, the on-track activity. This is quite an interesting rookie class. You have, obviously, Rubens Barrichello, F1 veteran, Joseph Newgarden, Indy Lights champion. You race in Europe for quite a while. You have Clausen, the USAC guy. You have Simon Pagenaud, who's got a lot of IndyCar and, obviously, Champ Car experience. Wade Cunningham, who's had tons of success here. What do you think of the rookie class, and who do you see? Obviously, it's still very early, but who do you see as a possible Rookie of the Year candidate?
You know, it's funny you mention that. When I got the invitation for the annual American Dairy Association Fastest Rookie Luncheon, I thought, well, this would be cool because I like Newgarden. He's good. And I thought, wait a minute. You know, Newgarden's got a good chance, but what about Barrichello? What about Pagenaud? What about Cunningham? I mean, you're right. It's a deep class from a lot of different backgrounds. I think Brian Clausen's going to be exciting for a lot of people because of, obviously, his background in running USAC races, running the Hoosier 100, you know, the Friday night before the race out at the fairgrounds. But it's also a group of good personalities. Joseph Newgarden's obviously, you know, such a nice and personable, likable kid that I think people will get behind. Barrichello has impressed me, James, not only and obviously his tremendous talent and his background, but his humility in coming in and admitting that he's still learning these cars, not being afraid to ask Tony Kanaan questions, and being open about the fact that different strategies, you know, having to incorporate numerous pit stops and fuel strategy is all something that's fairly new to him. So he's been impressive in his ability to soak in everything. I think a lot of guys would come over after all the F1 experience, running Ferraris, running with Schumacher, and say, you know what, this is, I'm going to come over here and this will be easy. Well, he has not in any way, shape, or form had that assumption or set off that notion at all. I mean, he has come in and been just willing to learn and also been forthright about the fact, look, it's going to take a little time, so give me some time. He's obviously a tremendous talent. But you're right, it's an exciting class. It's a group of really good guys, and it'll be interesting. I was looking the other day at the classes. You look at 63 and 65, both those classes produced eventual 7 Indianapolis 500 wins. And I don't know if we'll see that from this class, but it's pretty good.
Yeah,
it's pretty good.
Absolutely. Obviously, we just talked about Barrichello. From someone that's coming in, could you be in a better spot than obviously with KV, a very solid team? You're teamed with not only your best friend, but Indianapolis, one of the best that's never won here, in Tony Kanaan. He's with obviously Chevy, great power. Could you be in a better spot than what he's in right now?
I think a lot of people would say going in and immediately being with Penske would probably be the number one situation, but point taken for sure. And not only that, but I think, you know, with Tony Kanaan is a guy that if you had to pick one guy, as you just mentioned, that you had to really try to just kind of soak everything in from, certainly in terms of Indianapolis, he would be a guy, because Kanaan, let's face it, his first 8 years out here, he led a lap of the race. I mean, that's pretty impressive. And last year, what he was able to do, and just charging through the field. I mean, this is obviously a fan favorite. I think Kanaan personally would be the most popular win if he were to win this year. But in terms of the overall series and the eyes on IndyCar series and getting to know these cars, with the Frank Heedy would be right there as well, but I think, and probably Dixon. But Kanaan is as good at anyone as at having the versatility and the knowledge of knowing how to set up a car on road courses, on street courses, and on ovals. You know, a lot of guys you see are good at one but not the other, good at one but not the other two. Street and roads obviously are similar, but you have different pavements to get used to. Kanaan would be as good as anyone, a teammate, to learn from, and clearly those two have a great camaraderie and a great respect amongst one another. And I think it's very possible by the end of the year that we see Barrichello get his first win in the Eyes on IndyCar series.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's very possible. Now, we talked about rookies a little bit ago. If you were to set up a four-car team right now, and you have your drivers locked in for 5 years right now, who do you pick? Now, obviously, it's tough. Do you go with a Frank Heedy or a Kanaan, who are obviously unbelievable, but they may, you know, 5 years down the road, who knows what could happen? What do you think? What would you set up?
If I had a five-year window.
5 years. Locked in.
Look, I think the world of Dario Franchitti. I think Dario Franchitti is as talented and as diverse a driver as you're going to find in racing. You know, people can say, well, but look at what happened in NASCAR. Listen, they're... You know, that wasn't a situation from the beginning. He didn't have 5 years there. Let's put it that way. I think you put Dario Franchitti in anything, same with Tony Kanaan, they're going to be pretty tough to beat. But only because I like those guys a lot, I certainly wouldn't begrudge them if they decide within 3 years, let's say, that it's time to hang it up. So as a result of that, and I don't know if they would do that. Franchitti loves to drive, so does Kanaan. But because they're the obvious, I'll put them aside, and I'll say if I had to pick, you said four guys?
Four guys for five years.
I would go with Newgarden so that I could lock him in the series. I think he's tremendously talented, and he has a marketable personality, and he represents a lot of things I think people want. A young, charismatic, gregarious, loquacious American, so I would put him on the list. I would put Pagano on the list because I think the world of his talent, his ability last year when he filled in to come in and immediately figure these cars out, I think he's got a world of talent. So I would put Pagano on the list. To keep Pagano happy and to keep my team happy, I would put one of Pagano's best friends on the list, and that would be Will Power. Because Will Power, I think, is just now starting to get into the mix of really figuring out the ovals, and in particular the large ovals, the super speedways like Indianapolis. And it goes without saying, the skill level that Will Power has. So he would be my third. In terms of the fourth, that's a tough one. You could go a lot of different directions on it. But one guy that, and I'm assuming if I'm obviously the owner, I'm going to try to have the best equipment, the best testing, the
Absolutely.
Best everything.
You're decked out Penske style.
I would go with Justin Wilson. You know, Justin's another guy that 5 years might be getting to the brink of when he's ready to retire. But and I don't know that, but I think Justin Wilson is probably the most underappreciated talent in this series. If you talk to other drivers, and I ask a lot of guys, if you could talk to one guy and get their feedback, who would it be? Justin Wilson is a guy that is not only such a likable personality, but is so talented and has such a knowledge of these cars, especially on obviously the road and streets, but in conserving tires, being able to get the most out of the Firestone Firehawks before he has to go to the softer compounds. I like his skill, I like his personality, and I think he would be a great guy to teach younger guys how to drive the car, so I'd go with Justin Wilson for my fourth.
Absolutely. Now back from Fantasy World a little bit, back to the track this month of May.
This whole place is a fantasy world. You know that, right?
That's very true.
Every time you're out here, it's like Disney World to me.
That's absolutely true. Pole speed. That's obviously been a huge topic through all the forums, through Twitter, through everything the last month. What we think the pole speeds are going to be. We're looking right now on, what is today? Today is Sunday, the second day of on-track activity, and Justin Wilson is at 220.615. They obviously just announced that they're going to put a little bit of a boost in the car for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday for pole speeds. What do you see for pole speed?
221? Maybe 220. I mean, look, Wilson's speed, obviously, he had a toe on that. As of right now, you know, Hunter Ray's been over 220. I'm sure there's a toe involved there. You know, realistically, right now, 217, 218 is what you're seeing people run when they're out there by their lonesome. But you have to consider the teams like Penske. I know, you know, you hear people say sandbagging, that kind of thing. You know, I don't know about that, but you never know, James. The thing that's, and I never know this, when you watch guys out there during practice, you never know whether they're running race trim, whether they're setting up qual trim. We'll get a better idea of that once we come into Fast Friday and probably Thursday as well. But I had talked to several drivers before the month that said they thought 220, somewhere in there, the 221 range, if they got a little extra boost, maybe 221 and a half, 222. But then again, I could be wrong. I mean, there's probably a reason why I'm in a 6-foot by 6-foot platform on top of the Southeast Vista and not behind the wheel of a car, you know. So, but I, you know, for the sake of the fun of it, I'll say 221 and a half, somewhere in there.
No, I'm, as we're right now looking at the speed chart for today, you have Clausen right there at fourth. If you look at yesterday's, he's third. I personally, coming in into the month, I wasn't necessarily worried at him, you know, worried about what he could do, but he doesn't have any experience, and obviously in this car, he ran some Firestone Indy Lights last year. He's with Sarah Fisher Racing, obviously, but like I said, he's a rookie. He's with a rookie teammate. I know I'm very impressed with what he's done so far this year. What are your thoughts on Clausen?
Very impressed. I actually was out at the Indiana State Fairgrounds during the course of the week, and he gave me a 2-seater ride in a sprint car around that dirt track, and believe me, if I didn't have confidence in his driving ability, who knows if I'd have strapped in for that, because we're going sideways. I'm looking out the window, and we're going straight down the straightaway. The kid's obviously very talented. He's very confident. You made a very good point, James. He has a rookie teammate, so it's not like he has the advantage, you know, say like Hinch did a year ago of having – and by the way, James Hinchcliffe would be on my list maybe for one of the guys for a 5-year deal. But anyway, to have a guy like Oriel Servia a year ago for James Hinchcliffe, and now James Hinchcliffe with the Chevy connection, I know talks a lot to Will Power and Elio Castroneves. Having veterans that you can pick their brain is invaluable. And Clausen right now, as good as Newgarden is, you know, he doesn't have the overall experience either. So what he has done is very impressive. When you're out there and you are a rookie, I think a lot of there are two areas where things jump up a little bit at you when you get in the race car. And one of them is once you get out into a serious pack and you have 15, 20, or obviously on race day, 32 other cars around you, the dirty air becomes more frequent, the car changes a lot. You know, that's one thing that's hard to gauge, I think, when you're out here practicing on your own. The other is once the stands fill, the grandstands fill. You know, everybody from Al Unser to Scott Dixon have told me when you're out there qualifying and you're practicing and there's aluminum around you, the place looks vast. When all of a sudden it fills up and you've got 1,000 different colors out there and 285,000 faces, it narrows the track. And suddenly, when you're going into one, you realize the ground you have to work with or the lack thereof. Even though it's the same, it just, I think, mentally feels different. And those are the things that Clausen, I know, is aware of, that he's certainly focused on trying to block out a little bit. He's been very, very impressive. He knows ovals, obviously, from his USAC background and Cup as well, being a test driver for Ganassi. So he strikes me as the kind of kid that can get in just about anything and bend the wheel on it. It's going to be a learning curve for him, but so far, so good for him.
Absolutely. And just before we let you go, obviously, I can't let you go without talking about the race. What are you expecting race week, race weekend, or obviously race day? And the winner, who do you see coming home as the 96th Indianapolis 500 champion?
It's tough. I've thought a lot about it. I never rule out Dario, especially at this place. But, you know, Chevrolet, at the beginning, when Chevrolet decided to come back into the Eyes at IndyCar Series, I know that they... people within Chevrolet told different teams that they're branded with now, we're coming back to win the Indy 500. That's why we're getting back into the Eyes at IndyCar Series. It's going to be great if we can get a win at Long Beach. It's going to be great if we can get a win, you know, at St. Pete, as they've done. But we want to win the Indianapolis 500. And they put all their, not all, but they put a vast majority of their resources into that. As a result of that, you know, take your pick amongst a host of different drivers. Ed Carpenter would be in that mix as well. Elio, obviously. Will Power. Kent Briscoe, and then obviously the Andretti cars. I don't know which specific driver it will be, because as I learned at a very young age, my first race coming here as a spectator was in 81. And for crying out loud, it took months to figure out who was the official winner of that race. But, you know, last year when J.R. Hildebrand came by me in turn two, I've said this many times. The one thing I will say, James, is as Hildebrand came by me after he'd taken the white flag and came by me and I was calling the race in turn two, the one thing I kept thinking in my mind was, do not say that he is going to win the race. Don't say he is two turns away from winning the Indy 500, because although he was, it's a 500-mile, 800-turn race, and so many things can happen. And I truly believe that. No fault of J.R. Hildebrand's. We saw last year that anything can happen. So as a result of that, it's impossible to predict a specific guy, and I know that I'm taking the ginger way out of that. I feel like I have a responsibility, since I called the race, to not specifically say one person I think will win the race, but I will say I think Chevrolet at this point is the clubhouse leader to get the Indianapolis 500.
Absolutely, Jake. Thanks for coming on. Obviously, follow you on Twitter at Jake Query. Obviously, 1260 WND, co-host of Query and Schultz, as we mentioned. And then, obviously, this weekend as a pit and turn announcer on the IMS Radio Network. Obviously, what? Qualification and race days, obviously.
Yeah, we'll be on the air for the IMS Radio Network for the first hour and a half, I believe it is, of pole day. And then the last hour. The shootout for the pole will also be on for bump day in the same time frame, the first hour, last hour, be on for carb day during the course. Actually, carb day, we kind of do a recap at the end of carb day. So it'll be a lot of fun. And then obviously the Indianapolis 500. But I will say also, James, this is a unique place because there are people that have a great passion, not only for the track, but for the history of the track, the tradition and the legacy of the track. And obviously, the track historian is Donald Davidson, but I can tell you, and I want your listeners to know, and people that go to 16thandgeorgetown.com to know, that Donald has a great affinity and a great deal of respect for your knowledge of the Speedway, for your understanding of the history and the records and statistics that make this place the greatest sporting venue in the world. And, you know, I just hope people know that right there at within a few keystrokes of their keyboard, they've got access to that knowledge. So I appreciate you having me on. I appreciate your enthusiasm for the track.
So really appreciate you saying that. Obviously means a lot. And again, like I said, thanks for coming on. I appreciate your time.
Anytime. Always a pleasure.